Sold tape.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, thunder.
Back with hour two of Soul Take. Champions Live coming to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Treb behind the wheel of steel. That's an old saying for you old folks. And Kevin Cameron and Bill Neal bring it to you live from Pittsburgh, PA. Special guest today, former great University of Pittsburgh basketball star, Darrell Porter. And we're just looking at a couple of Darrell Porter dunks during the break. And we've all concluded that no one at the table can dunk like that anymore. Well, I never could dunk like that, so there's no question about me. I don't know if Kev got above rim or not, but I don't think Darrell will be doing that kind of dunk anymore.
Not the way he did.
Over Alonzo
not,
Mourning.
Not the way he did.
That's a serious dunk. I'd frame that and send it to Alonzo every Christmas to find out where he live at. Hey, Darrell, a couple quick questions. I do want to talk about your son before we get out of here, but just a couple pit things. What do you do in this situation? If you stay with Kevin Stallings, then you run the risk of who wants to come here and play. If you let him go, then you're going to have to start rebuilding yet again. So it's the proverbial rock in a hard place. What do you do if you're to pit AD?
Well, they have to look at it. I'm not sure how good his recruiting class was that he signed early. There's a late signing period. Hopefully they could get a player who can make a big impact. And then it might be worth working on some things. But the thing about it is when you're a recruit, the other coaches are going to be telling them, what are you going there for? They're getting ready to fire him. This is all on their radio show. We look at newspaper. Are they going to keep him? Why would you want to go there? He's not going to be the coach. So it's a lot of things that go against you. And then trying to get somebody who could turn it around, it's a little harder than people think. They think that Sean or Archie or somebody's going to come, and I don't really think that's going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen when it was available last time, and I don't think it'll happen.
You don't think Sean Miller will come back?
No.
No. Why not?
Well, number one, he has it pretty good in Arizona. He's going to be one of the top three teams.
Can I start a collection?
I don't think it has anything to do with money.
A whole lot has to do with money.
I know a whole lot has to do with money, but he has a job where he'll be in the top three or four in his conference every year. And besides UCLA, Arizona kind of runs the West Coast. They get most of the better players from that region. And then occasionally they'll get somebody throughout the country, but it's almost like a win-win situation. It'd be hard to leave, even to come home.
So you don't think there's any truth to the pipe dream that's being bandied about, that he can come home and be the savior and resurrect the program and the alumni comes home to save the day? That's just too much of a dream, huh?
I think that's a big dream. And he's established out in Arizona. They have Shaq's son coming next year and some other guys. They have it going.
They can all come to Pitt.
Yeah, but I don't think that.
I mean, Shaq's son isn't going to LSU?
No.
No?
He's going to Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah, well, dude, that pretty much
And he's a top 15 player. And then Manute Bol's son is another top 25
Good
player
Lord.
They're going after in California.
This is groundbreaking information we're getting here.
When you have a recruiting base, it's hard to leave because you go somewhere else, you don't have that same recruiting base. That's what happened with Pitt.
I think it's important to note that Darrell just shined a very bright light on in a deep, dark cavern. When you're talking about those kind of recruits slated to come in, that's a tremendous reason why he wouldn't leave. And while many people were hopeful that someone, if not Sean, you may find this a little bit humorous, but I've been suggesting, and I'm sure that I assume that there's no interest, but a Billy Knight, I think, would be great for this program. He's a legend. He's easily one of your top three greatest players of all time.
Oh, of course.
He's East Coast. He's run a front office in the NBA. it wouldn't. None of this would be foreign to him in terms of operation or organization. I've been suggesting on the down low for some time a Billy Knight would be great. And then let's say Billy Knight brings in a Darrell Porter as an assistant, or you know any number of guys that have been up and down the road, even bringing Brandy Knight back. So that was something because you're probably you're not going to get any of the top 10 coaches in college basketball to come here.
Now, I brought up before as well. What do you think about going after Ben Howland?
Well, Ben is in Mississippi, and exactly. he has a top 25 program down there now.
Does he?
Okay. Yeah. And they have a lot of players down south, enough to spread around where he's doing okay for himself. But that wouldn't be a bad hire because he's had success here before.
Exactly. And
although
he left for a good reason too.
It was when the Big East in the framework of conferences and playing was different. So when you went to New York or D.C., you knew you were going back to New York and D.C. to play. You could make sure these kids go home. Now we're in the ACC. You can't go to New York and say anything because you're not playing there.
And I'm not sure what – I don't think Mississippi is in the top 25. I just checked. But
they had a top 25 recruiting class. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the reason he left in the first place, he went back home to UCLA. Yeah, so he was able to fulfill his dream. So I'm thinking he might be open to making the trip back. I don't know.
Well, let me run a couple questions a little bit quicker here. Now, just real quick, Darrell, name the starting five that you played with in your senior year.
Jason Matthews, Sean Miller, Bobby Martin, Brian Shorter.
Now, that's certainly a select eight team if there ever was one, and many people had you going even further.
Well, we're the number one rated recruiting class when we all selected to come to Pitt. So when you get those many players there, then you could keep it going.
Yeah.
And see, maybe it's on you, Darrell. Maybe that's what's going on. Sean Miller, maybe the way to get Sean back is through you. You know, I mean, you could recruit Sean. I mean, he was on your team. He was.
You're right.
You know?
Well, Darrell and all the other Golden Panthers.
Exactly.
I've had a couple conversations with him.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I can firmly say that he has such a good situation there. It would have to be something that I'm not thinking about to happen.
He's probably got a ton of Golden Panther calls, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And offers and propositions and the whole
thing. If LeBron James could save Cleveland, come on now.
Hey, you're right.
Hey.
All things are possible.
I'm not saying he couldn't come and do it.
Yeah.
I'm saying that I don't think he will come and do it.
Next thing that's been – you've heard me talk about it time and time again. This can be an even shorter answer from you. I have been writing about it, talking about it. Sam Clancy's shirt needs to be retired in Peterson Events Center. Maybe if they do that, it'll take this jinx off the current operation. There's no way in the world, in my opinion, that Sam Clancy, let alone Larry Harris and Clyde Vaughn for consideration, number one and two all-time leading scorers. But if you guys ever have a chance to check Clancy's stats, and Darrell, you may not
know. Oh, I know him.
Clancy's stats are still nationally ranked top 10 stats, and he's been out of basketball for 30 years.
Impressive.
I mean, he's like the number.
He had 1,000 points and 1,000 rebounds. That's very hard to do. Yeah. There's not too many people who can.
And I think he's like the number 14 or number 12 all-time leading rebounder in NCAA history. I mean, it's some of his stats are off the charts. But your opinion about Sam's shirt being retired?
I really think that they should take it into high consideration. He definitely has the numbers. He's back at the university. Him, Jennifer Bruce, and a couple other people, I think, should be up in the rafters.
Yeah, Jennifer will let you know that she feels that way too.
And then they all got picked for the All-ACC team. When we moved to the ACC, Jennifer, Charles, and a few other, they got inducted into the ACC Hall of Fame because Pitt, changed league. Mm.
So, you know, Bill, there's not many fans at the games these days. So maybe if we take some signs in and holding them up all through the game will get some attention.
Well, that wouldn't hurt because I think there's more people in this room now than weren't the last Pitt home game. I'm going to tell you that. And Darrell will tell you, I've been going to Pitt basketball games since 1975. I had a chance to work with Tim Gergrich's program. I had a chance to work with Roy Chipman on the perimeter, and I've been hail green and white, I got some blue and gold in me. I love the program. I love the history of the program. I think Billy Knight would be a great fit, and certainly there's a lot of people talking about the disappointment that they're suffering through this Pitt program and what it's going through.
Well, one of the things I want to say is a lot of people weren't happy with Jamie Dixon, but he just won 25 games a year, and it was maybe not the flashiest style.
Makes no sense.
And they weren't happy. And now I know there's a lot more people wishing that he was still here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Darrell, I don't want to lose the opportunity to talk about two things real quick. Number one, tell us about your son. Came out of the Obama program in the Pittsburgh City League and is doing really well.
Yeah, he's at St. Francis of Brooklyn. They are currently tied for third place in the NEC. They're tied with Robert Morris and a couple other guys. So these last couple games are like jockeying position to see who gets the home game. The way they do their league is the higher seed team gets the home game. So the higher you are, you'll get a couple home games, and then – you know, for the championship, whoever's the highest placed seed gets the home game. So you'd rather be having at least a couple home games and then going on the road than all road games. So
I was at the Duquesne game when your son's team came into play, and I was so hyped on seeing him play. And clearly a very immediate difference from his talent level as a senior and his level now. I mean, just a noticeable difference in the strength and the confidence that he's playing at. But I think he had foul trouble when I sent you a text. I was like, Darrell, how come your son's not in the game? Because I was all ticked off. And Darrell said he's in foul trouble, man. So I wasn't paying attention. So we're glad that
that's not unusual, Bill.
Okay, let's try not to interject when you're not asked. So moving past that, so he's doing well. He's happy. You guys are satisfied about the choice, and all things are good.
Yeah, I'll be leaving to go up there tomorrow. Senior night is Saturday, so I'll get the same play live again. I went to quite a few of his games. He got to play at Notre Dame. We played at Florida. He got a chance to play at some nice places. And he got to live a dream. A lot of kids grow up dreaming about playing Division I or having an opportunity to play, and he actually did it.
That's great. Now, what about your daughter?
My daughter's at Cincinnati, and they're jockeying for position too. They're tied for third. Last week I went to go see her play at Connecticut. What a great environment. They lost by 35 points, but they didn't play bad. Connecticut's so good that,
right?
Hey, you can play good and still lose by 30. So she got that.
Are you saying they didn't play bad the whole game or the first half?
No, I don't think they played bad at all.
Wow, okay.
Connecticut is so good that they just make plays.
Every year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they beat top 10 teams by 30, 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even your best game at Connecticut is not going to be good enough. Understandable. But, again, you have done a remarkable job with your kids as a former player, as a community leader, as a coach. You've done great stuff. Pittsburgh is proud of you. And now your kids are reaching the levels that they're reaching. So you guys have a lot to be proud of.
Oh, I'm very happy.
Now, lastly, tell us what you're doing now. You're still involved in basketball, but you've got great stuff going on. So let the people know what you're doing. Remember that we're local and national, so if you need to send a message out there, go right ahead.
All right. Well, right now we're doing the O's and M program, and we have all the different things to help kids out. We've added strength and conditioning. We've added SAT prep. We've added weekend skill development. We've always had – homework help and tutors coming up to help the kids. So we're putting together a nice package where no kid could really have an excuse to why they didn't have an opportunity to do something.
Well, the opportunities that Ozanam presented for many, many, many years under Carl Coleman is continuing with you and your operation. You guys have resurrected the program, doing exceedingly well. And nothing but great things to say about Darrell Porter. So, Kev, if you're done, Darrell, you noticed that Kev didn't have a lot of questions because if it's not tended to be directed towards Aliquippa and what they've done lately,
Calipoopa's a pretty good place. They got a lot of history there.
He's probably the only person in the world that doesn't realize it.
Listen, when you come from a Penn Hill state of mind, it's hard to grasp.
Where's Penn Hills at?
Well, you look it up on one of them fancy computers you own. It's hard to, you know, to let other people in. Hey, Dap, we appreciate you taking time to come by. Continued success with your kids and your programs. And who knows? Darrell Porter might be the coach at Pitt next year.
Hey, you never know. I wouldn't turn it down.
There you go.
It's a mighty job to do.
Well, we just put it out there.
Well, something needs to change, so we'll see.
Got another special guest coming our way. Number 56 on his shirt, number one in your heart, Robin Cole joins us. Robin, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Bill. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for all that the accolades. Shucks, I thought you were going to talk about somebody else.
Well, you're big time.
You're throwing me over there. Well, throw me in with the big shots here, man. I'm a little shot. You know better than that. You know, I'm still trying to raise kids around here.
Hey, Kev, Robin's
glad you can do it.
Robin's forgetting that I need something from him before he leaves, so that's why I'm throwing accolades out there.
You messed that up. Because you.
No, we ain't gonna put it out there
yesterday.
I ain't gonna put you out there.
Nah, you really messed up.
I ain't gonna put you out there. We'll get to you sooner or later.
Giving you wrong dates and times and everything.
Oh, man, they're all over the place. He don't know what kind of work I have to do.
No, that was Trevin's fault. Everything that happened is Trevin's fault.
Passing the box.
That's okay. We're here.
Well, look, Robin, there's
raining all kinds of things out there today. I mean, it's a great day today.
You know, we're going to throw you in the middle of it because there's a lot to be discussed. But before we get to the current state of affairs in NFL, let's talk a little bit about your glory days. Just remind us of what it was like to be a part of one of the greatest teams in the history, if not the greatest team in the history of professional football. Never mind that New England jargon.
Yeah. Well, New England's done some things. They've learned some things. Just like Chuck Noll learned some things over the years when he worked with Don Shula. He understood what it took to build a team. Tradition is important, but foundation, one of the most important things. And these guys have figured out ways to build foundations. And once you have that foundation, you understand it. Now you find players to fit.
Well, you know, that's
some guys can't do it. Some teams aren't been able to do that.
JT Thomas said the exact same thing. So it must be true.
But it's a different day and time. When you talk about, you know, Bill Belichick and you talk about Chuck Noll, different eras. You know, back in the 70s, you had a number of dominant teams. That's not the case.
You're exactly right.
If you want to make the case for New England and everybody else, you know, back when the Steelers were winning four Super Bowls, you had Miami, you had Dallas, you had
Oakland,
you had Minnesota. So a whole different day and time.
You had Houston. You had teams that were just right there. But, you know, on a couple of occasions, certain teams or the teams that did win were able to prepare themselves for those games in particular and to just have a better – it wasn't so much having a better game plan. It was that the game plan and the momentum kind of worked. Once they got the momentum, they kept the momentum.
Right.
And we watched that over the years. We watched that last year's Super Bowl with the Falcons, how that they had momentum and they just wore down. They
gave
got
it
worn
up.
Down.
And gave
just
it up.
Gave it up.
But Robin, I just wanted you to speak a little bit about – because I asked JT this, and I remember talking to El, when we used to do the football camp together out in East Liberty. Guys used to come out and help us out. And I should say this, too, before it even gets any further. Robin Cole has been a great friend to myself and a great friend to my organization and helping us with kids over the years and never asked for a dime and just been a great, great guy, which is something.
I didn't know who to ask.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, the time has passed now. It's too. What is that called when the time goes? You can't get committed for a murder after a certain amount of time. So it's too late now. Yeah. But that was a different time too, though, because you guys did that. Yeah. You know, the players today don't do that stuff. I mean, it's not easy. But let me get this question to you. Talk about. I remember saying to LC Greenwood when he was living, say, LC, what was it like? And he said, Bill, you have no idea. He said, I can't begin to tell you what it was like. But he said, in essence, we could have anything we wanted anytime we wanted it when we were sitting on top of the world, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I didn't know. See them pass me down any of that stuff. I mean, for me, it was a little different. I was looking at it through another set of lenses. You know, I was looking at the things that I've learned as a player behind the steel curtain. And when I think about the steel curtain, I think of everybody. I think of, you know, Chuck Noll. I think of offense, defense, everybody. I mean, we were all there. People were gracious, though. People were gracious. They understood that we weren't making that much money as far as football was concerned. Television was just now kicking in to be really big in the 70s. We as players, golly, we used to. You're correct about. I mean, it was a time that, I couldn't pay for my dinner when I would go out to the restaurants around the Pittsburgh area. Those times have changed, and they change right after you retire. Once you're no longer playing, they stop buying your dinners and buying your lunches, brother. That's kind of the way it was, and still is today. But, you know, when you think about Pittsburgh, you think about the fellowship that we've had around here with the people, the fans. And still today, we do have a fellowship that's a little different than the guys today that are playing. They're a little distant. And it's because of what has happened. You know, now they can afford to choose and who to be around. We were as players back in those days thinking about what we were going to do next, and we needed help to do that. And it's the same way today. Okay, I mean, I'm straight out of Compton. I come here to Pittsburgh right away. I got involved in doing charity work because I was taught as a college football player that when you come to a new community, get involved in the community, and that was one of the things that I did. I got involved in the community early on. Most people don't start doing the things that I did as a football player in the early years until they turned 45 years old. Okay. I mean, you know, I was in the community, working with some of the charities that were available. And, but I mean, people made you feel, welcome, made you feel at home. And, I enjoyed that part of it, but it's still, I mean, we still had work. We still had, you know, there you still struggled along, okay? I was a family man in the days, and had family, you know, raised four children that are doing well. And then when I look at it today, I'm letting out the grandchildren are coming up. I kind of forget what happened in yesteryears, you know, a little bit, okay? I'm still, I have to travel to go watch them play basketball or go to karate class or something like that when I travel and see the boys and the girls. But Pittsburgh has been very, very good to me, and some of the things. Now, still, there's a lot of things that I wanted to do. I just didn't get the opportunity to do those things. As far as business is concerned, you know, I've always been a young man coming straight out of Compton with an idea of thinking of what type of business, and you can run any of them. And I've been in some businesses, but you're thinking about businesses that you can create opportunities and jobs for other people. For me, it's never been about me. I've been blessed. The Lord's just opened up doors for me to, even though he don't throw me a whole lot of money, but golly, I'm gonna share with you the fact of the matter was, I never asked to be rich. Okay. I've always asked for wisdom. Okay. I've never asked to be a millionaire or anything like that. I'm taken care of. I work hard at it, but there's always opportunities there to do things. And I think the life has been pretty darn good.
So let me ask you this question. From the linebacker position, you've seen it all. You've seen some of the greatest of the greats.
Yes, I have.
So how was that feeling? All of the guys here are former athletes, and so we all have our memories. But how was that feeling of dominance? How was that feeling of Steeler superiority when you played?
Wow. I mean, to go into stadiums, and it was always, you know, guys, and you played sports, you know, when you're going into a visitor's locker room and you're going playing at a visitor's field, your goal is to shut the fans up, unless the fans are your fans. They travel a whole lot better than they did in those days, okay? Today, Steelers fans, any stadium you go, you men, terrible tiles are flying. Everybody's got on black and gold. I don't care where they play, okay? But back in those days, we were traveling that way, okay? We didn't have that. And they come into a stadium, and you know, when you first walk in, said, all right, we're in enemy territory. We have to, you know, the feeling was just like, in the old days when you used to see the movies and I don't want to be sound like I'm siding, but I'm talking about an old movie, a cowboy movie. Yeah, I used to watch a lot of cowboy movies. Yeah, yeah. When Indians went to town and they came to your city and burned down your buildings. Right. Now, and took all the women teepees. Yeah, those kind of things. Yeah. I mean, that was the visualization of the whole thing. Say, okay, let's go down there. Let's go take all the girls and show them who the real guys are. Okay, who the real team is, and that's kind of that was the feeling, and to go in there and to know that in certain years, I mean, 78 was a little different than 79, to know that you're going into a stadium, and that you are going to take it to them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, some teams think that, well, you guys have won enough games. You may take it easy this week, but we weren't going to take it easy on anybody. We weren't going to take it easy on anybody because we learned that to some of the teams that you was unexpected to beat you would beat you on any given Sunday, okay, because they were going to bring it all. And we realized that, hey, you have to come and bring your A game every time.
And hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment after this break to wrap up conversation with the great Robin Cole, Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker from back in the day.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.